News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. It's Tuesday, a little after 9. You know what time it is. It's time for the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins.
And I appreciate the Emil Sadaka.
I know.
May he rest in peace.
He passed away
this week. But boy, he was a classic. I thought you were going to play Calendar Girl.
Oh, he has so many. Well, Breaking Up is Hard to Do is one of his early hits.
That's exactly right.
But this one came out right about the time I was, I'll just say when I was younger.
You met him one time.
I did. I used to work at this amusement park in Carolinas called Carowinds.
Okay.
And they had an amphitheater where the stars would come in and they would perform on the weekend, all week long. But on Friday nights, late, they would close some of the big rides. And I used to work on the roller coaster, Thunder Road or something like that. And so they'd say, does any staff want to stay late to clean up? Wink, wink. And we always knew that's because the stars were going to be coming through.
Right.
So he came out and came on the thing, and he said, I'm scared of roller coasters. I need somebody to ride with me. And he pointed at me. He said, can you ride with me? And I was like, sure, yeah, okay.
So you rode with him
on the roller coaster.
Oh, man.
And we held hands because he was scared.
Man, you need to write a biography.
I have had so many close encounters.
You have got an interesting, interesting past.
I do. I also rode with Harry Chafin.
He's my hero.
He was something, yeah.
We can play him all day long.
Oh, yeah, he was great. And of course, I loved him because of the song. I was in the line that says she was going to be an actress.
Yes.
And that was, he said, what are you going to do?
And I said, I was going to be a star?
Yeah.
No, so, I was going to fly.
I said, when he asked me in the roller car, he said, what do you want to be? You know, when are you going to school? And I said, I want to be an actress. You know, that was the end of that boy.
So he
did do something pretty wild, though, Mike. He said, as we pulled into the station, he turned to me and said, well, let's give your friends a thrill. And I said, what do you mean? And the next thing I know, he kissed me in front of everybody. And I was oh, my God. And then I got off for a week. I was, Harry Chapin kissed me. Harry Chapin kissed me.
you have got to write that book. That's all there is to it.
Okay, but enough of that. People want to hear about flowers and gardens and lawns.
I don't know. You've got some interesting stories. I mean, people like that. Oh, good for you. Well, I do think we need to look at a little bit of gardening here. I turned the page on my calendar, and guess what I found?
March. I know.
March.
What happens?
We are close to spring. We really are. Matter of fact, the temperatures, what it looks like to me, looking at Channel 3 and my phone, that we're going to be in the 70s, the high 70s, all week long, and it's going to take into next week also. Now, you and I have always asked the question, are we going to have more cold weather? Well, I'd say odds are yes. But they're getting smaller and smaller.
Mm-hmm.
It might not happen. That would be so cool. We've still got the Easter cold to deal with right before Easter. But anyway, let's enjoy this while we've got it.
It's going to be beautiful all week long.
Exactly. I noticed that the basketball players are here from the Southern
basketball. Did you see the charter buses already?
Yeah, exactly. And they stay at the beach. I hope they're staying at the beach.
Yeah, they usually
because
do.
This weather, they've got to think this is paradise.
Oh, they love it. It's a big part of why they came here. I had Ray Palmer on the show last week when we were talking about it.
Oh,
we were talking about that. Yeah. It's Pensacola Sports. Hats off to them. Really did a great job in getting that contract to happen again for the next 5 years.
Ray Palmer does a great job with Pensacola Sports. He always does the double bridge run, which is always my favorite. I miss that. I wish I could do it, but
I did the single bridge walk.
I have a bridge look. Just watch it.
Oh yeah,
exactly.
There you go.
Okay, so here we are. We're gonna have these great temperatures. Doesn't look like any rain, and that's not good. We really are rather dry. Now, we've had a little rain here and there, but it hadn't made that much difference. So if you have a sprinkler system or you've got your sprinklers set in your yard, I would start watering soon, very soon. I think we may need to move into our at least twice a week, depending on where you live. Say if you live in Gulf Breeze, which obviously will dry out faster, more sandy soil, you might even want to go three times a week. 30 minutes, it'll do it. You may not have to do the shrubs quite that much, but for your turf, St. Augustine, Zoysia, Centipede, etc., that's what I would do because it's so important. Because that grass is going to come out of dormancy pretty soon with this beautiful weather. So We need to get that water on it.
And you have recommended in the past, right, to water in the mornings is best?
Oh, there's no question. There's no question. Because you don't want to water a midday because the sun, especially if it's 80 degrees or so, it just evaporates. It doesn't get down into the roots. And if you do it at night, that gives you the chance of developing fungus in your yard. It's like throwing a pair of wet tennis shoes
Ooh.
In the closet.
Ooh.
You know, it's just, you know,
Ooh.
Not good. So, so early morning's good. I mean, 5, 6, 7 o'clock, that works. And go about 30 minutes per zone. And I think that'll carry us for a while. So I hope so. But I would love to have some rain, without question. And also, here we are just loving this weather. But I just encourage everybody not to rush. Just don't rush that pruning. That's obviously don't rush that fertilization because we may still have some challenging weather. So, and it's no hurry. So let's kind of get maybe even into April before we do some of these things. As a matter of fact, what I thought we would start off the show with this morning is kind of look at our checklist for spring. I found it when I turned to my calendar for March. We still have some trees that we need to talk about. We will get to that a little bit later, especially since Andrew today was talking about the Lorax.
I know.
I speak for the trees and the Lord. Dr. Seuss's one of his great, great books. Also, on the lawn, and we said this last week, I think the week before, probably the week before, we are tempted. We got some of these winter weeds that kind of crop up, and we're tempted to mow them. But you don't want to mow them by scalping the yard. Set that lawnmower 4 inches for St. Augustine, 3 for centipede, a couple for zoysia, and mow at that rate all summer long. If you scalp it, you're going to start off in trouble. So just don't do that.
Okay, very important.
Exactly. So those things are important. Also, and we talked about it last week, which was right on the date that we said to use your pre-emergence. A weed killer, I wouldn't, it's not too late. I think I would go ahead and do it. Of course, the old broken record over here, do not do that in a weed and feed product.
Just either, the pre-emergence right now.
Please, the pre-emergence. I prefer the liquid. You can buy it in granular, either way. But read that label. That's important because those pre-emergents are pretty strong, and you just don't want to use one that says on the label in real fine little print at the bottom. Do not use on St. Augustine grass. You got to watch out. You really have to watch out.
Okay, get those glasses out.
That's right.
Get those readers.
Okay.
Okay, we have a lot more to talk about this morning. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. Our expert, Mike Wiggins, is in the house. So text in your questions. Now is the time to do it at 850-437-1620. We'll be right back. Good morning. This is the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk, and we've got Nathan on the line. Nathan's got a question for you. Good morning, Nathan.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan. How you doing, bud?
Doing great.
Great.
Excellent spring weather here we got going on. That we're not going to...
Oop, you broke up on us a little bit.
I'm in a bad...
Are you on your car phone or cell phone? If you can get on your cell
phone.
If you can talk to
me. Yeah, I'm on the cell phone.
There you go. That's better.
All right. So, that we're going to need to get those sprinklers up and running. I got to go out and adjust them and clean them and whatever else. That's going to be another task. Wasn't looking forward to. But that's not my question. My question is more in the lines of. This year.
And Nathan, we're losing you.
Can you repeat the question?
We're losing you.
I just do my lawn, and I think my question should it be penetrating all the way down into the soil and making those little plugs, or is it okay just to kind of penetrate the top portion of the lawn?
I think he's talking. I really.
We lost the first part of your question.
I caught a couple of words in there. Probably talking about aerating a turf. I think that's probably what he meant. I think it just depends how bad it is. Some people will literally aerate by just getting a good leaf raking, raking that yard really, really good, really hard. And that sometimes suffices. But if you've really got packed soil, yes, you can do the machine or the kind of the cylinder that has all the spikes in it, which will bring up just plugs of grass. That's the way a lot of people do it. It's a pain in the neck to do. You may want to hire that out. You know, there are folks that's all they do is aerating yards, and you may want to look into that and have them look at it to be sure that's what you need. So I'm not a huge fan of it. I have people who live in Gulf Breeze, who live in Pace, and have beautiful lawns and have never, never had to aerate their lawn. Some people like to do it every couple of years. So I think you need to look at your individual situation. And if you've got really hard, packed soil that the grass just won't grow, yes. Now, one other thing you could do is get you a shovel and just kind of shovel, just kind of poke it in the ground in those areas that are giving you a problem. That may save you some money in renting a machine. So anyway, aeration is kind of an individual situation, and I think that's how that works.
Okay, Nathan.
Okay, yeah, sorry about that connectivity, that I was driving through a bad area, I guess. But really, ultimately, what I was asking is how deep should the aeration go? Because I just had it aerated with a new company, and it doesn't seem like there's any plugs that have actually been left behind. It seems like the actual spikes only went down to about where the soil starts and didn't actually go into the soil.
Yeah, I don't think you have to do the plugs. He may just be poking holes, if you will, into the into the turf. I would say maybe no more than 3 or 4 inches. I think that would be that's kind of a guess on my part, but I would think probably 3 to 4 inches you'd be good. Now, if it didn't bring up plugs, that's okay. If he poked holes in it, and just you might want to talk to him, to the guy that did it, and say, look, you know, tell me what kind of equipment you used. How deep did you go, and kind of why did you do my yard? What is going on in my yard that I need to do that? So that's kind of the direction I would go, Nathan.
Okay, great. Thanks. You answered my question. Appreciate it.
Go get it. Good luck to you.
Thanks, Nathan. Thanks for calling into the Garden Line.
There you go.
Okay, this is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, and this is the Garden Line, 850-437-1620. Mike, we got a bunch of questions coming in this morning.
Oh, do we? Good.
This first one says, centipede lawn, is it too late to put out lime? Love your show from Pat.
Oh, Pat, I'm so glad you called. Meg and I are going to save you some money. do not put lime on a centipede yard.
Oh.
Keeping in mind, we put lime on St. Augustine, and here's the reason. Centipede likes an acid soil. That's what we have in Northwest Florida, is an acid soil. And that is so good for so many things. Zinnias, camellias, gardenias, and centipede grass. So lime is going to raise that pH of that soil, which is really not what you want to do with centipede. Now, if you've got St. Augustine, that's a different story. I would always recommend that you get a soil test to see if you need lime for St. Augustine. It needs a little higher pH than that centipede. However, if you don't have the time nor the inclination to go get the soil test and all of that, I would put lime out on your St. Augustine about twice, say every 2 years. Every 2 years, putting about 30 to 40 pounds per 1,000 square feet. And I think that would suffice for St. Augustine. But if you have centipede, I would hold off. I wouldn't do it.
And there's a text just came in from our friend Paul, excuse me, with Blue Sky Landscaping. Big exclamation point. Do not lime centipede grass.
There you go, Paul.
So thank you, Pat, for sending that in.
Exactly. Thank you, Pat.
Okay, this is the Garden Line on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg, and it's going to take a quick break here, and then when we come back, more questions from you. So be sure and text them in at 850-437-1620. We'll be back in just a minute. Good morning. You're listening to The Garden Line on Pep Talk. Got lots of questions rolling in, and we're going to have a whole other half hour with our expert, Mike Wiggins. So text in your question at 850-437-1620. One of our listeners, Mike, says, I applied the liquid atrazine on the St. Augustine grass as you instructed on February 16th. Okay, what's my next step?
Okay, there is a next. I love that. I do, too. I'm so glad you did that. I think it will help.
Mm-hmm.
That atrazine is really good. It's not perfect, but it really is good in preventing those weeds from coming up, from germinating and coming up. So good for you. Now, the next step is fertilization. Remember, that's why we don't do weed and feed, because we don't do them together. Now, this is where I kind of, be honest with you, I kind of part company with some of the state experts. They say wait till May to fertilize your yard in Northwest Florida. I disagree. I totally disagree. I think we need to probably shoot for April. Keep in mind, this is just, you know, that's about 30 days from now. And using the right fertilizer and do it then. And if you have centipede lawn, that may be the only fertilizer you need until we get into the fall. St. Augustine, we'll talk about a little bit later, sometimes needs a midsummer kick. But your next step is to use a 16-08 fertilizer on your lawn in the spring, in April. And mid-April would be great. That's what you have to do. Now, what you also have to do, depending on the kind of grass you've got, is be aware of mole crickets. First time we've mentioned that word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the winter. Watch out for mole crickets. If you have St. Augustine, look out for brown patch fungus. Remember the old favorite one you have, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
The Rhizoctonia brown
patch. That I still don't know how to pronounce, but go ahead.
But anyway, the brown patch fungus, there are a lot of things you have to watch out for. But at this point in time, you've done the weed killer. Wait till April to do the fertilizer. Mow your yard if you need it, but mow it high. Do the watering correctly. Oh, by the way, sharpen that lawnmower blade. That's important as we go into the spring and summer. And then I think you'll be in good shape.
Okay. So we know what to do next.
You know what? What's the next step?
Okay.
What's the next step?
And if you're listening this morning and you're in your car and you thought, doggone, I don't have a pen to write this down, you can go to our website at newsradio923.com and you can click on podcast. You'll see what the podcast says, The Garden Line, and you can click on there. And every episode that Mike has ever done is on there. So you can go back and listen and find out exactly what you can do get started for
there
spring. Okay?
Thanks for doing it. Thank you.
Okay. Excuse me. Got another question. My yard is full of weeds. Should I do pre-emergence in something else or something else with that same time, and if so, at the same time, and if so, what?
Well, that's a problem because a lot of these weeds already emerged.
Mm-hmm.
I would certainly use the pre-emergence now. That atrazine is a good product. None of them are perfect, but the atrazine is good because it will help inhibit those weeds from germinating and coming up. But if you've got some broadleaf weeds, dollar weed, Virginia buttonweed, that type of atrazine will help that to some extent also. So I would use that product now. And then when we come back from the break, we can talk about what you do next insofar as weed killer is concerned.
Okay, that sounds great. So keep those questions coming in. It's springtime. So time to get ready. 850-437-1620. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins. We'll be back right after the news. On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. I'm here with Mike Wiggins, and you know what time it is. It's time for The Garden Line. He is our gardening expert for sure. And before we get into more of our questions, we heard from Karen Llewellyn again. Good morning, Karen. Thank you so much for sending this in. She keeps us posted on all the gardening happenings in Pensacola. So get your calendars out, because the Pensacola Federation of Garden Clubs is having their annual tour of tables at the Garden Center, which is at 1850 North 9th Avenue, on March 17th, you can remember that date, that's St. Patty's Day, from 5 to 7 p.m. The $10 tickets are available at the door and include a vote for your favorite table, appetizers, and drinks. We will have 17 tables this year with the theme of everyday celebrations, design on a dime. Love that. So if you get a chance to stop out for that, it'll be on March 17th at the Garden Center.
those ladies doing a fabulous job. They've had that event, I think, for years.
It's great. Yeah, it's
great. Oh, no, it really is. I'm well attended. So good for y'all.
So thank you so much for sending that in.
Hope you have a big crowd. Let us know how it did.
Absolutely. And also just want to let you know that now is the time to send those questions in. It's springtime, 850-437-1620. I'm going to try to get to some of the ones we had the half hour we didn't quite get to. Let's see. I'm not seeing any weeds in my yard. I just put the pre-emergence down today. And then the question, have I messed up?
No,
I was waiting for the temperatures to be more consistent.
No, this is fine.
Okay.
You did good.
Yes,
you did good. And you have no weeds, and let's hope moving ahead you don't have any more because you put the right chemical on there. But I do want to mention, because we talked to someone has texted him. Maybe we haven't even gotten to that text yet, but there are things one can do after you put the atrazine on, mm-hmm. as we progress into spring, for those weeds, especially the broadleaf weeds. Those are the ones we were talking about, the dollarweed, the Virginia buttonweed, Florida pusley, those weeds. There are post-emergence chemicals that you can put on, and they're very good. They're not going to do much for crabgrass and that type of thing, but they're good for broadleaf weeds. Once again, you got to follow the instructions. Because they can do damage if you overdo it. My favorite one is an ingredient that you'll see on the label. It's Trimec. They call it Trimec. It's got three different chemicals that help kill the weeds. This has no pre-emergence activity to it. It's all post-emergence. It kills the weeds that are there. So for those weeds that escape the atrazine and jump up, the Trimec is good. I would still give it probably to the end of March, maybe even into April before I did it. And you have to be so careful, Meg. You can't do it when it gets hot.
Mm.
The temperatures are in the high 80s and into the 90s. You can use it, but it's like putting a blowtorch on your arm. You just don't want to do that.
No.
So you need to do it at the right time. And that's when temperatures are really, quite frankly, where they are right now. In the 50s at night, 70s in the day, that's good for the Trimec. But if you've used the atrazine, I wouldn't come back with the Trimec until we get to the end of the month.
Okay, great question. Got another one about weeds that just came in. Mike, how do you get rid of weeds called scratch ankle? Just dig them up? You should have seen his face.
I've never
Not
heard,
good, huh?
I've never heard. I don't know what scratch ankle weeds are. It sounds like it's probably, I'm going to guess, this is a guess, and I'm sorry for guessing, maybe either a winter annual or it's a weed that the hot weather will control. I think the atrazine probably would have helped it, but once it's up, it's too late. Now, here's the way I'm going to get around this. I'm really not sure. You know what we're going to have to do, don't you?
What?
We're going to have to ask the research department.
Okay. To look up scratch ankle?
See if there's another name for scratch ankle. But it needs to be said that if weeds are a problem in your yard, and they are for so many yards in Pensacola, the best thing you can do is do everything else for a healthy, lush lawn, which will really many times choke out the weeds. That's mowing right, fertilizing right, taking control of insects, doing all the good things, all the right things. If you do that, that's still the best control for weeds on the market. And we're going to check in on the research department.
Okay. Scratch ankle. All right.
I love the name.
Yeah.
I love the name.
It's kind of very descriptive.
It's in my list of bad apples.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Scratch ankle. That's good.
Okay. Another question that just came in. When is a good time to put out white builder sand on your grass?
Good question. And there's a lot of debate on that, whether, one, you ever need to do it. If your grass is thin, really thin, and it's not hard-packed where you do need to aerate, a little builder sand is not bad. Now, here's what you don't want to do. I have seen this happen in Pensacola over and over. People get a pickup truck full of red clay and have it delivered, and you've got this. You don't want to do that.
Oh, my goodness.
The builder sand, you can get a 50-pound bag of it and just kind of put it over the areas where you want that grass to move into. And on the grass that's there, You want it to kind of poke through that grass. You don't want to smother the lawn that mm-hmm. you've got mm-hmm. with that sand. You kind of rake it in. That's the best way to do it. So your existing, say St. Augustine, has blades of grass that are penetrating the sand. And I've seen it used. I've seen it help. But that's a.
Is now the time to do it?
I think I might wait just a little bit longer. Now, you don't want to wait till the hot summer. I think I'd wait till about April 1st and do that. Yes.
Okay. All right. Lots of questions coming in. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins. So if you've got a question, I mean, now is the time. Gardening begins. It's springtime. 850-437-1620. We've got a picture here that I'll have to show you at the break. But the first amaryllis bloom of the year, it was a gift from our mutual friend, Wendy. This is David and Catherine. So there's a beautiful picture of a blooming amaryllis. And then Catherine says, a Christmas star amaryllis bloom. Beautiful. Thank you for sending that in. I'll show him at the break.
Let me tell you right now, those amaryllis are
so pretty.
Just have to be one of our favorite perennials. I mean, you can get them. A lot of people give them for Christmas. They give them for Christmas, and people enjoy them, and they put them in the ground, and they'll bloom year after year after year with that tall stalk, mm-hmm. with that beautiful bloom on the top.
Oh, yeah.
Multiple blooms many times. It's a great thing. You know my buddy Skip Vogel sang, who comes
yes.
and talks to us? He propagates the amaryllis. He is really an expert.
Oh, yeah. Now, we need to have him on soon.
Exactly.
Get him on again.
There is one caution. If you got for Christmas, this is a neat gift, the amaryllis in clay, mm-hmm. in a clay ball, and it comes up and it prunes, but the experts will say that you're not going to have much success putting that one in the yard.
Oh.
If you got one that wasn't even in soil, mm-hmm. and you put it in soil, having the neck of that bulb sit above the soil, you're going to have that plant forever.
Wow.
But if it was in that little ball, in that clay ball, then that's probably not going
to
work.
So that has to remain potted or no?
Just enjoy it.
Okay.
Just enjoy it and pitch it. That's it.
Oof. Okay. No mercy.
Right.
Okay. Got another. We heard from our out of the house research department. Someone's texted in. I think scratch ankle is the prickly weed that will grow berries, too, in the spring. We call them bayberries.
Okay.
That might be them.
I think there are two things you can do. Number one, the Trimec we were talking about, which is the post-emergence, is not going to work on that. I think the atrazine that you put down in this time of year will help, but I think you're not going to like this answer. Manual labor.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. Manual,
oh, no.
Maybe that's the only way you can do that.
Huh.
You know, as opposed to doing what we said earlier, doing everything in your power to make that lawn lush. Mowing it high is going to help with that. But that's probably the best you can do.
Okay. All right. This is the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk, 850-437-1620. Got some more questions in, Mike?
Well, I just want to thank our texter for telling us that.
Yes, sir.
He was way ahead of our research. They hadn't even woken up yet.
They were just going to do the what? The scratch what? So thank you for being on the ball. Our listeners.
Oh, we appreciate it.
All right. With that thought, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. If you've got a question for Garden Line, 850-437-1620. Good morning. This is the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk, answering lots of questions from listeners as we all get our gardens and lawns ready for spring. Here's another question for you, Mike. When do I dethatch? Is this annually?
I would. Dethatching is...
I have to ask you, what is that?
Well, if you have a lawn, it'll build up a layer of organic material kind of at the soil level,
mm-hmm.
and that's called thatch.
Oh.
Now, two things you can do. Well, I shouldn't say two things. The main thing is I don't think you really need to dethatch with a machine. I've had people really damage their yard doing it, and I'm not saying everybody's going to damage their yard, but I've had people do it. I think unless it's really severe,
mm-hmm.
once again, a good stiff leaf rake, and go just rake that thatch out as best you can. You're not going to get it all. You don't have to, but that's probably the best way to do it. Now, how often do you dethatch? I certainly wouldn't do it annually. I would think every couple of years would be plenty. If you really need it,
mm-hmm.
that's the key. If just raking it out doesn't work, I don't think you're going to need to do it every year. say every couple of years. But I think there's an easy way out of that.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
That's a good answer. Okay, 850-437-1620. And Mike always comes in every Tuesday and has a whole list of things to talk about. So you have a few things on that list over there that you want to mention if we still have some time?
Well, I as, like I told you, I turned the page in my calendar and up jumped my checklist for spring.
Yes, let's get to a little bit of that for sure.
Well, we've covered some of it.
Okay.
It's a little checklist. Here we go. Number one, fertilize your lawn with the proper fertilizer. And we talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to do it yet. We probably want to do it in April. We want to use my favorite formula is 16-0-8. Now, what we're looking for in the spring is that first number in the fertilizer. All fertilizers have three numbers. We're looking for that first number, which is going to be a larger number. If you remember, mm-hmm. doing the winterizer, the first number is generally much smaller. Anyway, that's what the 16 is, 16-0-8. That's 16% nitrogen. That's going to make that grass go. So you don't want to do that too soon. I have found that if you do it too soon, you may get some growth out of your grass, the grass starting to go, but that ground is still cold.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, sometimes you'll get yellowing in your yard. Remember we talked about
yes.
that canary yellow
mm-hmm.
that you get? So that's one reason I like to wait. And the 16-0-8 is good. Now, you may not be able to find that 16-0-8. If not, that's okay. I've seen 22-4-4. I've seen, 12-0-6. Different fertilizers like that. But try to find that 16% nitrogen. You want to use about, it's 6 or 7 pounds per 1,000 square feet, and water it in real mm-hmm. good. And we'll do that in April. So
not quite yet.
Not quite yet. And now, using the proper fertilizer, as we get into mid-summer, that's when we're going to use a even higher nitrogen for St. Augustine grass. Centipede, you really have two choices. You can use an organic material like compost, mushroom compost, for example, that type of thing. Or you can skip it. A lot of people skip it because centipede does not need the nutrients that you have for St. Augustine or for zoysia, for that matter. The zoysia really follows the same schedule as the St. Augustine. Centipede is a little different.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't need that much. So That's the deal
of okay.
spring fertilization. That's the first one on my checklist.
Okay.
What was on my next one? Okay, fertilize your plants. Okay, fertilize your plants. Well, here's what I would do. I would fertilize my plants using the old rule of thumb, a tight handful for every foot of height. If you've got a azalea
mm-hmm.
that is 3 feet,
okay,
three tight handfuls all the way around the drip line.
Now, that's easy to remember.
Okay, well, I'm going to make it really easier for you. If you've got a 16-0-8, a good lawn fertilizer, with no weed killer, of course, and you're using a cyclone spreader to put out that fertilizer, run that spreader right by that hedge of azaleas.
Mm.
And that'll put a fair amount of fertilizer in there, probably enough for your spring fertilization, as opposed to having to deal with those separately from your lawn. And you like fertilizing azaleas in April is a good time to do it. They're blooming or they're almost finished blooming. And so that's how I would handle that. You want to use really the same fertilizer
mm-hmm.
For both.
Okay. Got a question along that line that just came in. What about citrus trees? I guess they mean fertilizing those?
Oh, yeah. I would do that in the spring.
Okay.
I would do that. You don't want to fertilize it right now because what could happen is that fertilizer could just promote new growth, and then we have that Easter cold, and it knocks it back. So I would not do that. And quite frankly, this is where we get real scientific, Meg. Remember this?
Yes.
Real scientific. What fertilizer do we want to use on our citrus trees?
Oh, I should know this.
Citrus plant fertilizer. There's a label. The label is for citrus, and it's got all the elements, nitrogen, phosphate, potash, but also all the minor elements, magnesium and iron and that type of thing,
mm-hmm.
which is formulated for citrus. And I think you can buy that almost anywhere. I think my buddy Larry out at Pensacola Seed and Garden may have that in stock.
Okay.
That's a good citrus fertilizer will suffice for that. And I would wait, once again, probably till April, till the chance of the last frost is over.
That makes sense. Yeah. And our friend Paul with Blue Sky Landscaping just texted in, start applying your pH amendments to your hydrangeas.
Good point, because you want that to be an acid situation also.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Paul helped me here, because I think this is, I think aluminum sulfate, I think will raise the acidity, which is what hydrangeas want, to turn blue. Some people say, well, if I put lime on it, it'll turn them pink. Well, I'm not sure. That sounds easy, but it doesn't really work that way. I'd go for the keeping the soil acid.
Okay.
No doubt about it.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Keep those questions coming in at 850-437-1620. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. Mike Wiggins is here. Got another question that came in here from, from Vicki, and she says, when do places begin selling crepe myrtles?
Ooh, they ought to be selling them now, because this is the time to plant them when they're dormant. That's for any of the trees, especially at the last couple of shows, we've talked about, you know, all the dogwoods and the mm-hmm. sycamores and all those great trees we have in Pensacola. But it's good, best to plant any of those trees, crepe myrtle included, when it's dormant, when it has no leaves. And so that's what you need to do. What you got to watch out for, is color. And if you've got a color in your mind, like, mm-hmm. say, watermelon red, that's one that a lot of people like. When you buy it dormant, it's probably going to have a tag on it that says, red. It may
right.
not be the shade of red that you want. That's why I always recommend a lot of people, when they're selling crepe myrtles during the summer, find one at a garden center you like with the color when it's blooming, and then buy it and plant it in the dormant
season. He just texted you and said, I want red.
There you go. Well, you can find red. Where are you going to find this? The right shade of red.
Because
you can buy, you know, red, pink, white, lavender.
Oh, do you just drive around Pensacola in springtime and you'll see every color in the
place? Yeah,
I mean, it's beautiful.
Right. And, you know, and we need to say, if you haven't cut them back yet, do it. Do it now. But don't knock it down so far that you get the new growth is all that little witch's broom type
mm-hmm.
growth. You know, cut it back maybe about a third. Cutting back the new growth maybe about half. And go at it. But don't wait.
Okay. And so what's the most important thing, message from today's show, would you say, since we're now into March talked about?
It's spring, and there's so many things to talk about on the Garden Line. I mean, we've talked about weeds today,
mm-hmm.
and that's always a good topic to talk about. But we need to talk about vegetable gardens.
Yes.
Talk about blooming plants, what's really going to bloom.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now's the time you can kind of start thinking and planning. Say, last year I had impatiens there. Now I want to plant dianthus or
right.
that type of thing. You just, it's fun to pick the plants and maybe plant some things you never have before. But we need to talk about that, because I've got the Florida Panhandle Planting Guide ready to talk about.
Excellent. Okay, well, we're going to be back again the same time next week. And, of course, you can hear the show again on Saturday mornings right here on News Radio 92.3. And you can hear it on the website as well in the podcast. Mike, as always, thank you for being the host of the Garden
Line.
Thank you,
Meg. You're
the best.
You're great. Thank you.